Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, June 23rd, 2011. Had the privilege of attending two arts-related programs last week, and I thoroughly enjoyed both of them. On Wednesday, Imago presented Art in the City, a showcase of local and regional performers and artists. Dale Nickel, Kevin Ramazar, and Mike Jansen wowed us with their music. The cast of Lost and Found Theater tantalized us with an excerpt from a new play that I might have to just go and see to find out how it ends. And visual artist Heidi Brennan had us looking at stone and glass in a whole new way. Then, starting on Thursday, I was part of the faculty at Write Canada, an annual conference for writers who are Christian, which is held at the Guelph Bible Conference Grounds. Again, I had the chance to meet with old friends, make new friends, and help novice writers improve. And it was neat to see how a couple of those people who had manuscripts that I critiqued make a second appointment with me to show how they'd use that critique to make the improvements to their work. And the highlight for me was sitting through the screenwriting class of Sean Gaffney, a writer of the VeggieTales episode King George and the Ducky. The Imago event and Write Canada are only two examples of some of the events for Christian artists and art lovers that are taking place in the region. I'll try to keep you updated regularly, and if you hear of anything taking place, email me at the address that you'll hear at the end of today's show. Some of you may have recognized this as the intro music we use for Arts Connection. It's called Ayali by Guelph violinist Trevor Dick from his CD Fifth String Boulevard. And it's appropriate that Trevor is my guest tonight. I've had the pleasure of hearing and watching Trevor in concert, enjoying his music, and getting tired just by watching the tremendous amount of energy that he uses while playing. Good evening, Trevor.
Hey, how you doing?
Not bad. Listen, are you as tired after a performance from doing it as I am watching you?
Well, you know, I think it does use a lot of energy. I don't know, physically, it is a workout for sure to play the violin. People don't realize it, but music actually can be a sport, and a lot of musicians get the same injuries, you know, like tennis elbow kind of symptoms or rotator cuff issues like golfers get and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it can be a sport, but it's mostly, I would say, emotionally and mentally taxing, I think. That's probably the most, that's usually, the, in terms of fatigue, that's the most, the way I get the fatigue the most, I think, is that way. So,
do you do anything specific to keep in shape for that?
Well, I've been doing a workout routine that is used by a lot of athletes. And that's how I keep in shape. I mean, I it's a bit hit and miss sometimes, given my busy schedule. But I try to stick with it, and it's a lot of core body kind of workout things on a ball, light weights, and 3 times a week I do some cardio kind of work, running or cycling. So that's kind of the key sort of way that I stay in shape. But yes, and that really helps, especially when I stick with it. Right now, I'm not the most in shape, I would say, that I've been in my life, but I'm trying to keep that routine, so it really helps, sure.
Well, going from where you are now, let's sort of give our listeners a bit about your background. And the song Ayali, besides being a really, really good song, has some personal meaning for you. What was Ayali, and how does that all fit into your life?
Well, Yali is a little town in Nigeria, right, central Nigeria, where the Niger and the Benue rivers, they meet. It's about an hour and a half outside of the capital of Nigeria, Abuja. And that was where I was born, a little town, Yali. My dad actually delivered me in a little schoolhouse that my mom had taught, homeschooled us using BC correspondence courses. So she went into labor in this little schoolhouse. My dad got there just in time and delivered me in this little schoolhouse. My mom thought she had lots of time. She didn't. And, I'm one of 7 kids, and I'm the 6th kid along, so I guess apparently the more kids you have, the faster you come out. And I think my mom's labor was like 3 hours or something, and my dad got there just in time. I flew out, and he caught me before I landed on school desk, no word of a lie. So
wow.
Now I came into the world, you know?
Now, your dad delivering you, it wasn't unusual. He was a doctor, right?
Yeah, he was a doctor, yeah.
Now, one of the there was a key event that happened in Nigeria that had a significant impact on your life. What was that?
Well, I've shared this in my concerts, but my dad tragically died in a car accident when I was 4 years old, so that was really a tough time to go through, as you can imagine, as a family. So.
Yeah.
And I was that 4-year-old that asked the hard questions. You know, I asked questions my mom that probably the rest of the family were asking in their hearts too, but just, questions that we don't normally ask, like, Mom, why did Daddy have to die? And I even asked this question, Mom, why did God take Daddy when I loved him so much? So my mom just, she's an amazing woman of faith. She's turning 81 this coming year, and this coming August, and she said, Trevor, God's going to be your daddy now. And I hung on to those simple words that God was going to be my dad, and she quoted that I've hung on to, that God's the father of orphans and the husband of widows. And I just hung on to those words, and that's how I started on my journey of faith.
So in terms of, we're talking, you're telling your story about your dad and that. How did all of that affect who you are and what you do as a musician?
Well, I think that growing up on the mission field I think I've just always had a real heart for mission work and a desire to be a missionary like my parents. It was just part of my upbringing. And in fact, I used to keep my dad's microscope under my bed and just tell all my friends and family that I was going to be a doctor just like my dad, because I had a real desire, I think, in my heart to be a missionary, to do mission work. And so I used to pull that out, look at skin and bugs and things and, just stuff that boys do, and just dream of being a doctor. But at the same time, I was really excelling in music and on the violin especially, and realized that I had a real gift in that, and I had to make a decision when I was a teenager where I was going to, what I was going to do, and decided to go into music. Just felt it was more than just a desire to, it was more of a calling.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought in the process that I had given up the dream to be a missionary. I thought that in order to be a missionary, you had to do practical things like help people, you know, like doctors do, or, you know, do those sort of things. And I didn't think that as a violinist I could do mission work. But as I've grown and God's called me in ministry, I realized that I can be a missionary just as a violinist, you know, just playing an old violin,
mm-hmm.
Just playing, setting up and playing and sharing my story and ministering and touching people's hearts and lives through music. And instrumental music's unique in that there, you know, with there being no language barrier, it's just instrumental music. It can just reach right to the heart and the soul and touch people's lives at that level. And God's been using it in a powerful way to open the way for the message of Christ as well. So,
now why violin?
Well, I think I just we didn't really. My mom started me on piano and violin. And my mom plays both those instruments, and I think it was just kind of happened that way. If she'd started me out on saxophone or harmonica or something, maybe I would have chosen that. It just happened to be the instrument that we had around, kicking around. We had a few instruments kicking around the house, and that's just what I learned, and I loved it. The piano lasted a week, and the violin I hung on to and just really took to it, so... That's why, I guess, it just kind of happened that way.
Now, I remember we talked one time before, and you were saying how you started out doing classical stuff and then getting into university, doing performance and things like that. And then you switched over to jazz, which is more the styling you're using now. What prompted that switch into the jazz stylings?
Well, it was a number of things. I think God clearly closed the door and opened another door, and part of that was when I went to University of Toronto in the performance program, which is a very classical, performance-driven program, and that's all you do. There's two key schools there. There's the education, music education program, where a lot of people go through the program and they become teachers. And then there's the, and it's the basic Bachelor of Music program. Then there's this Bachelor of Performance program. That's the program I was in. Unfortunately, there's a lot of classes in the Bachelor of Music program that I really loved, or they looked great, that I really wanted to take, but you couldn't do them in the performance program. So I was in the end of my third year of the performance program, and I got an injury from practicing so many hours and that sort of thing, and I couldn't go into my fourth year because of these injuries, all kinds of issues with my muscles and strain and on the muscles and that sort of thing. Thus my workout today, you know, that I do. And so that kind of, I switched into the general music education program as a result of that, and got a Bachelor of Music and then a Bachelor of Education degree, and that kind of changed the stream. But as a result of that, I got to take a lot of classes like jazz, improv, jazz orchestration, all kinds of really neat improvisation, things like this, with some great teachers. And I realized that those were some of the skills and things that I use today that really made a difference in the change from even classical to more popular styles of music and electric violin and that sort of thing. At the same time, right across the street from the university on Bloor Street, there was a music store that had this electric violin sitting in the store window, and it was one of the first prototypes of an electric violin in Canada. It was just sitting there, and some local maker there, Zoltan Ari, had to build this instrument, and I went in the store and I said, what's that? I'd like to try it out. And I tried it out, and he ended up making one for me and giving it to me as a gift. So this all kind of sort of all happened at the same time. So it was just all these kinds of things that kind of redirected my path. I think they're all God things, you know.
Yeah.
At the time, you know, the injury and all that just seemed like a huge disaster. And it was hard to go through. But now that I look back, I can just see how God was guiding and directing that path all along. So.
Cool. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll finish our interview with Trevor Dick. And we're going to explore how his dream of being a missionary actually came true. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Everlasting God, one of the tracks from Trevor's latest CD, Yahweh. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Trevor Dick. Now, Trevor, before we, in the early part of the interview, we're talking about how you had this, you felt this calling to be a missionary, and then you decided to go into music. But recently, you actually sort of started to fulfill that. That dream of being a missionary. Tell me a little bit about that and how that's all come into fruition through Flying Bow Music Ministries.
Well, about 5 years ago, I was on a tour to Alberta, and I was with keyboard player in our band, Brad Tews, and we were doing a number of concerts, you know, in Edmonton and some of the larger cities, but some of the smaller places like Wetaskiwin and that kind of thing. I remember just distinctly, I was on the road driving with Brad, and I was sharing a bit of a vision with him about where I felt God was calling me personally and us in ministry together, as we do a lot of ministry together. And while we're driving along, I was just very frustrated with what is, you know, just the things we have to deal with as music artists in Canada. A lot of it's, you know, the financial strain on a family. I mean, I had a young family, and we had to sort of take out a second mortgage, a line of credit kind of thing to finance the latest CD that I had out at the time, Fifth String Boulevard. And, you know, it was like a $20,000 expense, and I was still paying it off on this line of credit and, you know, just going into debt to do the ministry. And I was just really just, you know, I was just kind of trying to paint a bit of a vision of what I felt ministry should be as for music artists. And part of that is just that, you know, if God really wanted me to do this, I didn't think he wanted me to go into debt to do it. Like, if he really wanted to call me to be to do music missionary work, as I, you know, I was just finding out that, that this was really what we were doing, you know, far more than a career in music, although I believe that, you know, the two coincide. I just felt that, you know, that we shouldn't have to go into debt over it. And so part of that vision was that, you know, if God was really going to call us to do this, then somehow he needed to be able to provide the finances in a miraculous way. And shortly after that, I got connected with an organization called Imago, which is an arts organization. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yep. We actually interviewed John Franklin a couple of weeks ago.
Did you?
Yep.
That's great. Just a great guy and real supporter of the arts in Canada. And I was doing a new project called Glory and Peace, which is a Christmas album that we produced. It was a double CD. And that was the first project under the umbrella of Imago. We became an artist under the under Imago, and that enabled us to have nonprofit status under the umbrella of Imago, which is a charitable nonprofit organization that supports artists across Canada. And so as a result of that, we did a lot of, you know, we developed a mission statement and vision statement and all kinds of things like that, values and objectives for Flying Bow Ministry. And, you know, as we sort of did, we did a second project under Imago called Yahweh, which is our latest album that just came out in 2010. And then John just said, Trevor, you know, I really think that you've got the framework here, because a lot of projects, they start with Imago and then that project ends and that's it. The artists just move on and continue to do what they did before, I guess, without nonprofit status under that umbrella. It's a way to kind of get artists started and help to launch them, but often it just sort of ends there. And I just really felt that there was, you know, there could be more potential here for Flying Bows. So we went through the work as a board of directors, because part of being under the umbrella of Imago is you need to have a board of directors. So the framework was in place to actually do the work to receive our charitable status. So we went through all that, got a Christian lawyer, and had some just amazing people on the board that were just the right fit to help to launch us as a charitable ministry. And so we received our full charitable nonprofit status through the Government of Canada in January of 2010. And that's just been extremely exciting. And so Flying Bow is now, you know, a missionary, global, local and global missionary organization to support artists and musicians, you know, who are called by God to encourage and others to discover and worship Jesus Christ. That's our mission statement. So it's just been very exciting.
And you just had a project that you did in Guelph for Flying Bow. And tell me a little bit about the Gateway String Orchestra. How did that all get started and come together?
Well, you know, that was a really neat thing that happened. It was actually not even my idea. It was my wife's idea. And we moved to the west side of Guelph, and the school closest to here is called Gateway. And this is a very under-resourced area. We have one of our boys go there, Liam, our youngest. And, you know, just getting involved in the school community a little bit, we realized that this school is just, you know, very under-resourced, just did not have nearly the programs that a lot of the schools, other schools in Guelph have. Just for some reason, they ended up getting the short end of the stick many, many times with funding and that sort of thing. A new principal came to the school, who's just really been fantastic, and she supported a bit of an idea we had to start a string program in the school. And this is a local Flying Bow initiative that we thought we could do to support this community. And so I just donated my time to go to the school weekly and start the string orchestra. And it's just been amazing, just little miracles along the way, what God's done through this group. They did a gala concert just on June the 10th, and it was a fundraiser combined with some of my advanced students that I have a bit of a studio out of my home here as well, about 30 students. And so it was kind of a combination concert fundraiser for the orchestra, and that was just really, really neat. It's just been really cool to see how the community has really embraced this. And there's just been many signs that you know, God's just at work, you know, in people's hearts and lives. And, you know, the school is a result of having this string program. The board, the Wellington board, has donated $25,000 of band instruments to the school as well. So the school's gone from nothing, no music at all in the school, to kind of like a full program in the course of a year and a half. And it's just been miracle after miracle. And so just seeing how God's just been at work.
Now, is this a project that you kind of want to see take place in other areas?
Well, it'd be great. I'd love to see perhaps other people take this on. I haven't thought that far ahead. It's just something that I felt that I could do, just use some of the gifts that I have in this community. And, you know, it's just about, just again, just being a missionary. You know, being a missionary isn't, you know, you don't have to go anywhere to be a missionary. You can just go across the street and reach out to your neighbors, right? You know, I think we have this idea of what a missionary is in our mind, that you have to go to a different country or something. But I think we just saw how we could just reach out to and love just our community through this project. And and I hope that others can be inspired to do similar things. It doesn't have to be music, but just being involved in your local school and just getting in there and just serving in the area of your giftedness, I think, mm-hmm. can just go a long way just to show the love of Christ to others.
Yeah, and we've had a chance to talk a little bit in the last couple of weeks. We've got a full schedule coming up with tour and concerts out in the East Coast during Canada Day. If people want to find out more information about you or about Flying Bow, where can they get that?
Well, Flying Bow Ministry is simply flyingbowministry.com. We'll tell you all about the charitable work of Flying Bow Ministry. And my personal website is trevordick.com.
Great. Well, Trevor, thanks very much for your time today.
Okay, thanks, Robert. It's been a real privilege, and thank you again for all your support.
You're welcome.
Bless you there in your ministry.
For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.